don't know how many months we've been doing this, and still I realize it's helpful to turn the mute off because I'm ringing the bell like, no one's bowing. So thank you. Really lovely to sit with you all, as always. And today we are a week away again from what here in the States is our Thanksgiving holiday. And I was talking with my daughter, and she and I were going to go see family. We're going to I had to cancel that trip, but it was interesting to speak with her. She's a young teenager, and her point of view around Thanksgiving in the mythology of Thanksgiving. She's like, I'm not celebrating, which is basically the celebration of a genocide. It's not part of what I believe. Interesting. And so we've had some really interesting conversations, but this shift in this generation coming up of views, and how do we, as a nation that is so deeply, on some levels, deeply fragmented. And last year in the time of the Trump era, it was like, how are we going to come together with relatives that have different political beliefs? And this year, how are we going to come together if someone's not vaccinated? And can they come? And what do we do? And this division that's happening, and I'm not on either side here. I'm just speaking about how do we start to find ways to bridge our differences of ideas. And my sister and I have throughout our, I'm the youngest of seven and the sister right above me, we've been on opposite ends of the political beliefs for years, and really of late being able to have conversations about what's important, what actually matters. And she used to have a store in DC, and was all stripes of political folks would come through her store. And she shared a story of the two, basically like administrative aides of sorts, two committee members on opposite sides, but they didn't know who the other person was. So they're just chatting before this hearing was about to start. And they got along great. They had all these things in common, things they like to do. And each of them had gone back and was sharing with my sister, like, if I had known that person worked for this person, I never would have talked to them. Right? And we can get that way. Like, well, if I knew that's what you believe, well, I would close off. Are there some ways in which that we really are willing to limit ourselves because someone might believe something differently? And I realize I feel like I'm touching on some tricky waters here. And really what I want to approach is this: how do we come to, however we celebrate or don't celebrate next week, but this offering of gratitude and thanksgiving, which I think we can all agree that giving thanks and being grateful, that's not such a challenging notion. But how can we hold within ourselves this place of generosity around people having different ideas, people being different, people challenging us around how do we think? And again, not, and how can we hold on to ourselves and this openness? And I've shared this before, and this wonderful teaching from Ajahn Sucitto, and I'm just checking, I think it's Sucitto and not Ajahn Sumedho, but this practice of, do I need to have an opinion about this? A line from the Metta Sutra, not holding on to fixed views is a great teaching, and the ways in which we can get rigid around our beliefs. This is not to talk about not being passionate and not being clear and educated and discernment and beliefs and fighting for what we believe and all of those good things. It's not at all setting that aside, but just watching the degree to which we can hold ourselves rigid and then keep someone at bay when it really leads us more to excluding others, when really, how can we, in that notion of calling folks in, how can we learn more from each other to have space for dialogue? And I'm going to reference again the book I spoke of last week, Braiding Sweetgrass, by Robin Wall Kimmerer, because she has a chapter in this book called The Allegiance of Gratitude. And in this chapter, she opens it by sharing that her sixth grader was at a school, a traditional school, and they said the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. And the teacher called her and said, I just want you to know that your sixth grader is no longer standing at the Pledge of Allegiance. And she's not doing it. She's just sitting respectfully, but it's kind of a problem because now other kids aren't sitting. And what would you like to do about it? And the author's like, talk to her daughter, and the daughter's like, I don't want to swear allegiance to a political belief. As a Native American person, I don't believe it's been liberty for all, and I don't want to stand for it. And she's like very clear, like, this is nothing about disrespecting veterans or disrespecting the flag or disrespecting anything, but dishonoring, this is the voice of her child. And then she shifts to, and I want to share today what is known as the Haudenosaunee Thanksgiving address. I'm going to read it in a little bit, but it's this, an invocation that was in this a school of the Anangani tribe, which is in upstate New York, an invocation that they would start every day with. And why I want to share it today is as a possibility of how do we express our gratitude and give thanks. And I've always held that gratitude is sort of one, like the close cousin in the noble truths. Of the Brahma Viharas, the divine abodes of loving kindness and compassion and joy and equanimity. And I think gratitude is in there too, as a cousin, an important cousin. And this our ability to give thanks, you know, for it being that we can come here today on this Thursday. Most Thursdays we get to come together, and being able to incline the mind towards generosity and appreciation. And we know this in relationships, it's that ways that certainly those of us who have been in partnerships or are in partnerships, the feeling of not being appreciated can be a thing, right? For mothers with their kids, of not being appreciated, it's a thing. And being able to set the intention to, can we be in a flow of generosity, of that giving and receiving? For many of us, giving is easier. Receiving can be hard. And how do we receive the love languages of those around us when it doesn't quite jive with ours? How can we stay open, again, to be in that place of flow, that generosity does not move just one way, but it moves both ways? In Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama's book on joy, which, again, one of these books that I quote all the time, the two men speak about the eight pillars of joy. And when we can lean into these different pillars, we can cultivate this capacity of ours to be joyful, even when things suck. When things are so hard in our lives, we can still set the intention to cultivate a sense of gratitude. And so I'm going to read a little bit from this book. Gratitude is a recognition of all that holds us in the web of life and all that has made it possible to have the life that we have in the moment that we are experiencing. Thanksgiving is a natural response to life and maybe the only way to savor it. Perhaps all spiritual traditions recognize the importance of gratefulness. It allows us to shift our perspective, as the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop counsel, towards all that we have been given and all that we have. It moves us away from the narrow-minded focus on fault and lack into the wider perspective of benefit and abundance. Brother David Stendhal-Ross explained, it's not happiness that makes us grateful. It's gratefulness that makes us happy. Every moment is a gift. There is no certainty that you will have another moment with all the opportunity that it contains. The gift within every gift is the opportunity it offers to us. Most often it is the opportunity to enjoy it, but sometimes a difficult gift is given to us, and that can be an opportunity to rise to the challenge. In Buddhism, one can be grateful even for one's enemies, our most precious spiritual teachers, as they are often called, because they help us develop our spiritual practice and cultivate equanimity even in the face of adversity. Yeah. When you are grateful, Brother David explained, you are not fearful. And when you are not fearful, you are not violent. When you are grateful, you act out of a sense of enough, and not out of a sense of scarcity, and you are willing to share. If you are grateful, you are enjoying the differences between people in respect to all people. A grateful world is a world of joyful people. Grateful people are joyful people. A grateful world is a happy world. Gratitude connects us all. When we are grateful for a meal, we can be grateful for the food that we are eating and for those all who have made it possible, the farmers, the grocers, the cooks. When the Archbishop give thanks, we are often taken on a journey of Ubuntu, the acknowledging of all connections that bind all of us together, in which we are all interdependent. The beauty of interdependency interbeing, Thich Nhat Hanh. And can we allow this to infuse our sense of gratitude again for those small, tiny blessings? Here we are, we're breathing. Amazing, sitting here. To the larger senses of when things are going well in our lives, hooray. And we know, like, won't stay that way, they'll shift. So this ability to cultivate, incline the mind towards a sense of generosity and gratitude can have, neurologically, there are studies on the benefits for it, but just in the way of angling the heart to be receptive, right, in that giving and taking. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read this celebration. It's kind of long, so I'm going to ask for your patience with it. And in the book, when the author speaks about, so every day in the school, different grades are responsible for sharing the prayer. And it, because it's long, the kids are like, oh, it can start to fade. And when she would read it in her classes, she teaches at a college in upstate New York, and her college students are like, yeah, we totally want to hear it. And then midway through, they're like, this is really long. So knowing that it's long, but this is what she says to our students, oh, you poor things, you have so many things to be grateful for. So just wanting to, as I read it, there's a refrain, and in there's each paragraph, and the refrain is, now our minds are one. So I'll keep us on mute, but when I say that at the end of each paragraph, and you'll hear it in the cadence, if you feel comfortable, if you can, to say it aloud, even though we won't be hearing each other, or to say it in your own mind as a way of connecting us, because part of the spirit of this invocation, celebration, is of joining together. And in the book, the author writes that she's not a member of this tribe, and she'd asked the wisdom holders of the tribe, like, is it okay to share it? Can I write about it? Can I put it in my book? And the elders like, hey, yeah, we've been waiting 500 years for these words to be shared. And as a white person, I kind of felt like, is it okay for me to share this? And taking my cue from her, yes, it's okay to be shared this blessing or prayer. It's actually neither a blessing nor a prayer. And I'm not sure what the word is for it. So I'm using the word invocation. It has been translated into 40 languages. And in the story about this, the elders of this tribe, when they would come together for any kind of gathering, whether it was a gathering of two or many, whether it was a family gathering or political gathering, this invocation would be shared as a way of setting a tone for coming together. And I can't help but, wonder if in our government, in the States, if each meeting could be shared, if this could be shared as a way of setting a tone of, we're all here on this earth. We all care about many of the same things, our people we love, how to find contentment, how to care for each other. And we come at it in very different ways. And just imagining if this was read as a daily offering, a daily orienting of the mind. So I'll read it. And again, if you're willing to play along with me, when I say, now our minds with one, to join in. And again, you'll hear it in the cadence. So today we have gathered. We have been given the duty to live in balance and harmony with each other and all living things. So now we bring our minds together as one, as we give greetings and thanks to each other as people. Now our minds are one. We are thankful to our mother, the earth, for she gives us all that we need for life. She supports our feet as we walk upon her. It gives us joy that she continues to care for us, and she has from the beginning of time. To our mother, we send greetings and thanks. Now our minds are one. We give thanks to all the waters of the world for quenching our thirst and providing us with strength. Water is life. We know its power in many forms, waterfalls and rain, mists and streams, rivers and oceans. With one mind, we send greetings and thanks to the spirit of the water. Now our minds are one. We turn our minds to all the fish in the water. They were instructed to cleanse and purify the water. They give themselves to us as food. We are grateful that we can still find pure water. So we turn now to the fish and send them greetings and thanks. Now our minds are one. We now turn toward the vast fields of plant life. As far as the eye can see, the plants grow, working many wonders. They sustain many life forms. With our minds gathered together, we give thanks and look forward to seeing plant life for many generations to come. Now our mind is one. With one mind, we turn to honor and thank all the food plants we harvest from the garden. Since the beginning of time, the grains, the vegetables, the beans and berries have helped people survive. Many other living things, too, draw strength from them. We gather all the plant foods together as one and send them a greeting of thanks. Now our minds are one. We now turn to the medicine herbs of the world. From the beginning, they were instructed to take away sickness. We are happy that they are still among us. For those who remember how to use these plants for healing, with one mind, send greetings and thanks to the medicines and to the keepers of the medicine. Now our minds are one. We gather our minds together to send greetings and thanks to all the animals in the world. They have many things to teach us as people. We are honored by them when they give up their lives so we may use their bodies as food for our people. We see them near our homes and in the deep forests. We are glad they are still here, and we hope that it will always be so. Now our minds are one. We now turn our thoughts to the trees. The earth has many families of trees who have their own instructions and uses. Some provide us with shelter and shade, others with fruit, beauty, and other useful things. Many people of the world use a tree as a symbol of peace and strength. With one mind, we greet and thank the tree life. Now our minds are one. We put our minds together as one and thank all the birds who fly about over our heads. The Creator gave them beautiful songs. Each day they remind us to enjoy and appreciate life. The eagle was chosen to be their leader. To all the birds, from the smallest to the largest, we send our joyful greetings and thanks. Now our minds are one. We are thankful to the powers we know as the four winds. We hear their voices in the moving air as they refresh us and purify the air we breathe. They help us bring the change of season. From the four directions they come, bringing us messages and giving us strength. With one mind, we send greetings and thanks to the four winds. Now our minds are one. We now turn to the west, where our grandfathers, the thunder beings, live. With lightning and thundering voices, they bring with them the water that renews life. We are thankful that they keep evil underground. We bring our minds together as we send greetings and thanks to our grandfathers, the thunderers. Now our mind is one. We now send greetings and thanks to our eldest brother, the sun. Each day without fail, he travels the sky from east to west, bringing light of the new day. He is the source of all the fires of life. With one mind, we send greetings and thanks to our brother, the sun. Now our minds are one. We put our minds together and give thanks to our oldest grandmother, the moon, who lights the night sky. She is the leader of women all over the world, and she governs the movement of the ocean tides. By her changing face, we measure time. And it is the moon who washes over the arrival of children on earth. With one mind, we send greetings and thanks to our grandmother, the moon. Now our minds are one. We give thanks to the stars who are spread across the sky like jewelry. We see them in the night, helping the moon to light the darkness and bringing dew to the gardens and growing things. When we travel at night, they guide us home. With our minds gathered together, we send greetings and thanks to the stars. Now our mind. Are one. We gather our minds to greet and thank the enlightened teachers who have come throughout the ages. When we forget how to live in harmony, they remind us of the way we were instructed to live as people. With one mind, we send greetings and thanks to these caring teachers. Now our minds are one. Now we turn our thoughts to the Creator and send greetings and thanks for all the gifts of creation. Everything we need to live a good life is here on earth. For all the love around us, we gather our minds together as one and send our best words of greeting and thanks to the Creator. Now our minds are one. We have now arrived at the place where we end our words. Of all the things we have named, it was not our intention to leave anything out. If something was forgotten, we leave it to each individual to send greeting and thanks. Now our minds are one. And then I'm going to ask you to close your eyes or keep your eyes closed and just to feel the reverberations of these words. Now our minds are one as we've given thanks and greeted the eagle leader. The maple is the leader of the trees, the fish, the water sources, the storms. Can we give our allegiance to the goodness of this earth, to our fellow brothers and sisters, human form, and to other beings that walk upon, fly upon, crawl upon, swim upon this earth. add in your own greetings and thanks to that which may not have been named. To consider what else would you like to give greetings to and offer thanks of different people in your life, different animals, different opportunities, blessings that we have received. Can we greet them and give thanks? And how much for me this resonates with the offerings of loving kindness. May all beings know happiness. May all beings everywhere have peace and ease. May they live in balance. May all beings be strong, healthy in their bodies. May all beings have a sense of ease and well-being. May one's goodness protect oneself. May this all beings feel their own goodness. May all beings everywhere bring insight to dispel the forces of greed, hatred, and delusion. May beings everywhere have a sense of community in our sense of the suffering of this world and our capacity to heal the suffering through compassion and wisdom, generosity, laughter. May all beings everywhere a sense of gratitude and appreciation, riding the flow of generosity of giving and receiving. May all beings everywhere know peace. So thank you for your patience and listening to all of that. I want to just add one more thing about the way that the author shares that prayer. She interweaves the prayer with commentary, and that every time it's read, it's different, that it's given over to the people who are reading it. So the school kids, the first graders, the eighth graders, it's definitely, these are my words, meant to be improvisational, that it comes from the heart, but acknowledging the different forms around us. And she speaks of the responsibility that, to give thanks to the water, and the water has the responsibility. For us as humans, what is our responsibility to the earth? That the eagle as the leader has a responsibility, and just the way that's woven in as part of what does it mean to be a leader, as what she speaks about, which I think is so beautiful. Because as part of this invocation, as a naming our connection to all things and also claiming the role that we have, each of us, whatever being it is, plays a role in supporting this life here. So just wanted to add that. The offering, okay, I can send a link to it. I'm not sure if I put it in the references or not. But if you were just to Google Odin Seed Thanksgiving Prayer, it would show up. And I think it's in the resources. So thank you.